Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oh yeah, Euro 2020. Did you see Kylian Mbappe last night? No, France beat Austria 1-0. But he broke his nose and he's a doubt for the big match against Holland, which is on Friday. Mind you, before the match you could see the kids, the mascots, surrounded Kylian Mbappe. They went absolutely mad for him. They almost forgot there were other members of the French team. And he has a range, apparently, of kids' sports clothing. This is Mbappe. I don't know what it's called. An affordable one as well. And he's probably going to be wearing a mask, you know, that protects the broken nose you see players sometimes wearing for the rest of the tournament. And that might become a fashion thing for soccer kids. But in football news, remember where you were, by the way, on this day, the 18th of June, 1994. Is it striking a chord yet? It is the World Cup in New York City. Giant stadium, and a little fella from Glasgow wallops the country pretty much into modernity because it's 1994, right? And it's the first time we're kind of seeing the tricolour being used for good purposes and not nefarious purposes. The men in blue shirts on that scorching day in New York look on stunned, among them the starriest star names in world football. Baggio, Baresi, Maldini. It's Ireland versus Italy, but we'll always remember it and we'll always have that magical 11th minute. George Hamilton, take our breath away.
On to it comes Houghton. And Houghton with a shot, and it's there! Houghton! Bring me back and I'll do the job for you, Jack. And he's done just that after only 11 minutes. What splendid sparkling opportunism for the old left peg this time. Remember Stuttgart 88. It's Ray Houghton once again. It's Italy 0. It's Ireland 1.
That'll put you in good form. It is 30 years to the day exactly. Ray Houghton, good morning to you.
Good morning. If only I had something from Gucci I could have worn that day, I'll tell you what.
You should have been lavish with all the Gucci in the world.
I could have been Gucci everything.
When you're in Ireland, Ray Houghton, do you buy your own pints?
Very rarely, I've got to be honest with you. It's the only place I get recognised now. I'm that old, people don't know who you are. I'm over in Germany at the moment. There's a few Scottish fans that have recognised me.
But oh, that's good.
Mostly when I go to Ireland, I'm all right. It's where the people recognise you the most, obviously, because of what happened in the past, yeah.
It was a moment that kind of encapsulated so much of the optimism that the country had went on to have in the 90s and the changes that were just about to occur. Do you remember the moment, or is it mixed in now with the mythology and the anniversaries that come around all the time and we chat about it?
Do you know what? Some days it's like it happened yesterday, and others it's a lifetime ago. Yeah, I mean, it is something I will never, ever forget. I mean, I was very fortunate that I wasn't a prolific goal scorer with Ireland, but I scored a couple of important goals, 88 against England and the Euros, and obviously the World Cup in 1994. So Irish fans will remember me for that, and I've got so many memories of it. There was a lot of doubt about me playing in that game, because in the build-up, I wasn't Jack's favourite at that particular time. You know, Jason McAteer got ahead of me in the friendlies, but I got myself fit. I really knuckled down, got everything right, and then Jack gave me the nod in the game. Said, "Go ahead, go and play." And you know that I can still relive the moment when Baresi heads it out. I chest it down. I'm looking to pass the ball to the left to Steve Staunton, but unfortunately, Steve was marked. And it was one of them moments where it just goes through your head. And I thought, just hit it and see what happens. And it's, the emotions are different, so different when you hit it. It's like, my first thought was it's gone over the bar. My second thought was the keeper's going to save it. And the third one, and the least probable one, was it's going to go in. And then when it hit the back of the net, I was off and running. Well, I was going to run over to
really
my family. My wife was in the crowd.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even that. I mean, do you know, I've never done that before in my whole career and all the goals that I scored. Never, ever done that before.
Never did
and
the
after
tumble.
The game, never done the tumble. It's called a gamble. In Birmingham, because I was playing at Villa at the time, yes. So they was, and people reminded me afterwards. I didn't remember doing it. The press afterwards, the media was saying to me, "Why did you do the forward roll?" I was just looking at them. I was like, "What are you talking about?" I just put my hand up. That's my normal goal celebration. I don't remember doing it, but I do remember trying to run to my family and your loved ones, you know, the ones who have supported you through tough times, they were there for me. But I couldn't get anywhere near them because Roy Keane and Steve Staunton and Terry Phelan jumped on top of me and I couldn't move. Yeah, I was mobbed. So it was such an important moment. We'd been knocked out by Italy in 1990 in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. So it wasn't quite revenge, but it was sweet to get the victory and give us a good chance of getting through to the knockout stages.
One of the things we forget, of course, it was the first ever win we had at a World Cup tournament. But of course, that's the 11th minute. There was a long way to go after that.
Yeah, well, don't forget, I think against England, I scored after 6 minutes, and Jack said that was too early. So 11 minutes was a little bit later. I had to do the
mistake. Give an extra 5 minutes.
You only had 79 minutes to go through with wondering if we were going to win the game or not. But yeah, just I was looking through the squad, and you know, we had a lot of aging players at that time. The mix in the squad was young or old. There was very few players in between. But it was an incredible tournament for us. You know, to do what we did in 1990, then to go back in 1994 and qualify again and go to America and represent Ireland was absolutely fantastic. And the amount of Irish over the games was incredible. I mean, that game in particular, we were told it was going to be 75% Italian fans compared to 25% Irish. It was anything but that. It was a reversal of that. There were so many Irish fans that bought tickets for the games because they just wanted to come and, you know, see us and spur us on. And they certainly done that.
Some of them still have the sunburn to prove it.
Some are still out there. Some are still there.
30 years on. It was absolutely magic. Paul McGrath always remembered for the heroic defence. Let's remember, so Steve Staunton had a fantastic game as well that day, didn't he?
Yeah, there was a lot of players that done very well, but Paul McGrath was outstanding. Paul shouldn't have played, to be honest. Really? Paul had he had an injury or his shoulder was really bad. And, you know, it was 50-50 if he was going to play or not in the game. And Paul, being Paul, said, look, I'm going to be fine. He went out there and he put on a masterclass. I think Parisi, who was one of the best defenders in world football, said it was the best set of defensive performance he's ever seen in his life. So that's testimony to how well Paul played that day. He was absolutely outstanding.
There's already text coming in here. So this person says, I was in Giants Stadium in New York that day behind the goal where Ray scored the fabulous goal. Great day. It's probably about 50,000 people who say that.
There was. Yeah, there was literally thousands upon thousands. As I say, the expectation was, you know, it was all going to be Italian fans. It was anything but that. The Irish fans bought the tickets, came and supported us and gave us a fantastic welcome and a noise in the stadium. And when the national anthem was played, it was just, I think all the players just looked around the stadium in awe because it was just green, white and gold everywhere. You know, it was just absolutely fantastic. And the noise he made in the stadium, it gave them a huge lift going into the opening moments of the game.
What was going on in your life and in that time? It's 30 years ago. You mentioned your wife was in the crowd. You had a couple of kids, I presume, at that stage as well, I think.
Yeah. But I think they were more interested in going to Disney World than they were coming to watch that, to be honest.
They were small.
I think I came a close second. That was about all. But yeah, no, they were over there. And, you know, I asked my children today, do you remember it? And yeah, they do. They have got fantastic memories. My oldest son now is 14. He was at the World Cup in 1994. And they have memories that he treasures. You know, he wanted to be around, you know, watch his dad play football, watch the international team play, still goes and watch Ireland games now. Because of what happened in the past with me. So, yeah, he's got some great memories of that time.
Your connection with the country is extraordinary. But, of course, you would have wanted to play for Scotland when you were earlier in your career.
Well, listen, I've been often asked that question. And, you know, people say to me, why didn't you play for Scotland? It's fairly simple. And Scotland never asked me.
Never asked.
If you've not been asked, you can't play, can you? It's as simple as that. But yeah. I've got to be honest with you, when Jack Charlton company watched John Aldridge in the semi-final of the League Cup, when I was playing at Oxford at the time, and Jack came to watch John against Aston Villa in the semi-final. John mentioned, and a few of the reporters mentioned to Jack that I could play for Ireland because my dad was born in Buncrana. And when Jack asked me, it was the best decision I ever made. You know, it really enhanced my career. I couldn't thank Jack, and you know, he's sorely missed because he was such a fantastic person. But what he did for me and how it affected my career was absolutely incredible.
It's extraordinary. It's wonderful to have those memories. You're out in Germany at the moment, as you said, with George Hamilton, yeah, who was commentating on that, but you co-commentate him a fair bit. No messing about now, Ray. Who's going to win Euros 2024?
Yeah, well, I've got to be honest with you. I was a big fan of France because I've seen them play against Ireland in the group stages. I thought they had the best squad. Having watched them last night, I'm not so sure now. It's one of them funny tournaments. I mean, at the moment, we're only at the stage where you're in the group. Is once you get out of this, that's when it gets down to who you're really looking at, the best teams with the best squads. I still think France have. I was doing the England game the other night for RT, and they were really average, to be honest. Actually, I thought they were quite poor, to be honest. So they've got to improve if they're going to have any sort of run in this competition. But I'll stick with France. They were my favourites beforehand. And, you know, what I've seen so far, I still think they've got the best squad and the best group of players.
And they're probably going to be tried a bit more as well than England, which is important sometimes, isn't it?
Well, all these teams are going to be tried at some stage. You know, there's only 33% of the 24 teams that are here that are going to be knocked out. So 66% are going to go through, 16 out of the 24 are going to go through. So it's relatively quite simple, really, to get through. You don't have to do a great deal to get through. But when you get to the knockout stages, you know, you've got nothing to fall back on. It's just 90 minutes plus of football and see what you can do and deliver during the course of them 90 minutes. And that's where you get tested as a team, and the best players normally start to shine at that stage.
Well, if you get the answer right in terms of France, I hope you're not doing any tumbles or gambles.
I can't do them anymore. I can assure you I can't do them anymore.
This is Ray Houghton. Thank you so much for the memories.